Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's head to the phone lines right now to head to Jacksonville, Florida, to be joined by Ryan Green of 1010 XL in Jacksonville. Ryan, man, happy to have you pop on today.
Carrington, how are you, buddy?
Doing fantastic, man. Happy to have you on the show today. Let's just start with this. Jacksonville is 3-1. How did we get here?
It's pretty surprising. Now, look, I thought they'd be 2-2 in the first four, so maybe I'm not as surprised as some. But nevertheless, 3-1 is 3-1. It's the second time since 2008 the Jaguars have started 3-1, and the first time since 2018. They got here because of the defense, man. That's one of the big points. 13 forced turnovers. It's the first time in the history of the franchise they've had four games in a row where they've forced at least three or more turnovers. They're getting the ball, and when they get the ball, they're taking advantage of it. The offense is scoring complimentary football, and the running game. I mean, Travis Etienne looks like the Travis Etienne that was here back in 2022 in the early stages of 2023. The passing game really hasn't clicked yet. It's been all the running game and all the defense, and that's how Jacksonville is 3-1 so far this year.
The thing that really stands out to me when I look at Jacksonville is the turnover differential. I guess my theory is, and this is just from watching it from the outside, it feels like what goes up must come down. And if your defense is really predicated on taking the football away, when you can't take the football away, it leaves you exposed. Is that a fair assessment of Jacksonville?
Yeah, but I think my counter to that would be, and I think with the Jaguars' counter to that would be, they know the law of averages will tell you the defense will not keep this up, because if they do, I mean, it would be the most historic defense in NFL history. You just don't force three turnovers for an entire season every single game. Having said that, the offense, quite frankly, Carrington, hasn't been very good, particularly the passing game. Brian Thomas Jr. doesn't have 200 yards receiving yet this year. Neither does Travis Hunter. Trevor Lawrence has been average at best. And with that being said, they're still 3-1. So I think what the Jaguars will tell you is they know that turnover differential will start evening itself out. But the hope is that the passing game finds itself, so maybe it won't matter when that time comes.
Why have there been struggles in the passing game? Because just from the outside looking in, this is a quarterback that has a capable run game. You got a legitimate number one in Brian Thomas. You spent the top five pick on Travis Hunter, and we'll talk more specifically about him here coming up in a bit. But, I mean, this is an offense that has all of the pieces to at least be trending in the right direction. What's going on with the offense?
Yeah, I think some of it's the new coaching staff. It's a completely different system that Liam Cohen has brought here from what they had with Doug Peterson. I think that's part of it. Drops have been a big part. I don't think Trevor's stats tell a clear picture. I think he's been a little bit better than his stats would indicate. The receivers have not done a good job catching the ball. I mean, Brian Thomas Jr. in particular had massive drops weeks 1, 2, and 3. Now he began to find himself a little bit last week in the win over San Francisco. He had 5 grabs for, I believe, 49 yards, which was his best game to date this year. Travis Hunter, I just don't think they're throwing the ball to him enough. Now, he did make his best play on offense last week. I'm sure you saw that 3rd and 15 down the middle seam route that he dove, and it was a 28-yard gain. It was a beautiful catch. You hope that's kind of the start of something for Travis Hunter. But I think the drops have played a factor. I think the new offense has played a factor. And you just hope that the passing game can catch up with the running game, because Carrington, the running game in Jacksonville has been one of the best in the league 4 weeks in.
Right now, we're talking to Ryan Green of 1010 XL in Jacksonville. Let's talk about that run game. At least the expectation in Kansas City is Chiefs fans think they can slow down that Jacksonville run game. The Chiefs' run defense has done a decent job so far, kind of taking things away. Do you think that the Chiefs are going to be able to do that when it comes to the Jacksonville rush attack?
I mean, look, could they stop it? Absolutely. The Texans stopped it in the first half. Jacksonville still was able to get 75 yards in the second half and in winning that football game. Travis Etienne's third in the league in rushing coming into this week, 394 yards on the ground. And look, the offensive line, it's interesting. It's not household names, right? They signed Robert Hainsey from Tampa, who wasn't even the starting center last year. Now, he started the 2 years prior with Tom Brady, but he did not, or 1 year with Brady, 1 year with Baker, but he did not start last year in Tampa. He comes to Jacksonville and is a captain on this team. He's been great 4 weeks in. They signed Patrick McCary, a guard from Baltimore, who is as versatile as anybody in the league. He's had 250 snaps at all five offensive line positions in his career. And I'm saying all that to say this. They didn't exactly bring in household names, but the guys they brought in have gelled very, very quickly. The San Francisco 49ers last week, albeit minus Nick Bosa, did not touch Trevor Lawrence in the passing game, did not get a sack, and did not get a quarterback hit. It's the first time in a decade that the 49ers did not touch an opposing quarterback. So not only the run blocking, but the pass blocking, it is the most underrated offensive line unit in the league, and they are the reason the Jaguars are being able to run the ball the way they are right now.
I heard some rumblings about Brian Thomas. Is everything good there? Maybe I made this up. This might have just been some tweets. I feel like there was something centered around Brian Thomas.
Yeah, he seems to be good. I mean, he was bad, quite frankly. He had awful drops against Cincinnati. He had one play where he just basically stopped running, and it caused an interception because Trevor thought he was going to keep going, and it looked like BTJ maybe made a business decision with a safety coming across the middle, and that resulted in a pick. And BTJ got a lot of grief for that in their only loss of the year, week two at Cincinnati. But he's come out of it a little bit. He had a game-changing play against Houston, a 46-yard catch in the fourth quarter that set up the winning score. Like I said, he had five grabs for 49 yards last week. He has not looked like the BTJ we saw last year, which is giving Jacksonville fans confidence, Carrington, because, again, they're 3-1, and BTJ and Hunter haven't really done anything in the passing game. If that starts clicking, there's a lot of optimism about where this team could potentially go this season.
You mentioned him. Let's talk about him. Let's talk about Travis Hunter. We were mentioning this earlier. It doesn't feel like they're using him enough at wide receiver, and he's certainly not getting enough snaps on the defensive side. It feels to me either you got to let Travis be who he was at Colorado, or you got to pick what you want him to be, and he plays 80% of the snaps on one side of the ball, and then he moonlights on the other side. It feels like right now they just have him being a very average player on two sides of the ball instead of really trying to be a great player on one of them.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And again, he's 4 weeks into his NFL career. I think people see Travis Hunter and they were expecting Randy Moss on one side and Charles Woodson on the other immediately. That's just not, you know, reality. But your point's a fair one. Now, defensively, he did not play that much in the second half against San Francisco. I think he only logged, I think, 9 defensive snaps against the 49ers. But like I said, he had that 28-yard catch on 3rd and 15 last week that you hope might open things up for him. I agree they need to use him more on the offensive side of the ball. I also think, though, that Travis Hunter, there's a couple of instances where you see him blocking downfield, opening up lanes for ETN. You have to block when you're in this Liam Cohen offense at wide receiver. And I think those two clips of Hunter just burying 49er defensive backs last week show you that he's vested. He's into what they're doing. He's fired up. They're winning, which is obviously solving a lot of problems as well. And I do believe he's got too much talent, and sooner rather than later, he is going to break out offensively.
Have you ever seen a football player dance as much as he does?
You know, it's interesting. When they drafted him back in, what was that, late April, early May, I mean, I knew who he was, obviously, and I talked to people at Colorado, but I had never met the kid. And the first time you meet him, it's just infectious, man. He's a happy dude. He loves what he's doing. He's all about two things. He's about football and fishing. If he's not playing football, he's on the water somewhere here in Jacksonville. And those are his two loves, his two passions. It's impossible not to like the guy. He's just a likable dude. His teammates are really just loving the interaction they have with him. You should see him on the practice field. It's hilarious. they're playing music, and it's a Wednesday before the San Francisco game, and he's out there doing all sorts of stuff, having his guys laughing, joking around with him. And truthfully, Carrington, that's what this team needed. This team was awful for basically a large portion of the last 15 to 20 years. The introduction of Travis Hunter, the introduction of Liam Cohen and James Gladstone and the new regime here, it is just a completely different feeling here in Jacksonville. And I think that'll be transmitted tonight for you guys through the television. I expect it to be a crazy scene here at Everbank Stadium this evening.
Yeah, I was looking this up. Jacksonville hasn't won a Monday night football game at home since 2011. Like, they just don't have many games like this in their franchise's history. They don't have a whole lot of wins like this. My point earlier was, we don't learn anything new about Kansas City. They've been to Super Bowls. We know what they are. But I think there is just a cloud of mystery right now against Jacksonville. There's a lot of people like me. I don't know how good Jacksonville is. Maybe they're the best team in the AFC South. Maybe we're talking about a team that wins 7-8 games and fizzles out. This is kind of one of those games, and their next three games feel like really important games in trying to figure out who this Jacksonville team is.
I don't know where you were in life, November 8th, 2009, but that's the last time the Jaguars beat the Kansas City Chiefs. 16 years since Jacksonville beat Kansas City. The Chiefs have won 7 in a row, including that playoff game, obviously, in January of 2023. But the Jaguars have put some streaks to bed as of late. I mean, the Texans had come in here and won 9 out of 10 in Jacksonville before 2 weeks ago. Last week, the Jaguars hadn't won on the West Coast but four times in franchise history in the Pacific time zone. And they go out to San Francisco and win. I got another one for you. Devin Lloyd, the Jaguar linebacker, was just named AFC Defensive Player of the Month. The Jaguars hadn't had an AFC Defensive Player of the Month in 20 years. You had to go back to Mike Peterson, November of 2005. So the Jaguars are putting a lot of streaks, a lot of narratives to bed. They would absolutely love to put the losing streak to Kansas City to bed tonight. And I agree. I look at tonight like very similar to New England last night. I think New England put the nation on notice last night with what they did against Buffalo. Jacksonville, even though they just beat San Francisco, if they go back-to-back San Francisco and Kansas City, I think the nation tomorrow would be talking about how good the Jaguars are if they get the win tonight.
We don't hear a lot about Jacksonville's crowd. I imagine they're showing up for this one. This is a big-time spot. Monday Night Football, team playing well, Chiefs coming into town, and, you know, everything that comes with that. We don't really hear a lot about Jacksonville fans. How have they really embraced this team? How have they, I guess, shown their excitement as they've gotten off to a great start?
I always use this analogy, all right? So, I mean, it's easy to be a Kansas City fan when you have Mahomes and Kelce and they're killing people every week and you're winning three Super Bowls. Arrowhead is packed, right? Because that's what happens. Imagine Kansas City literally being the worst team in the league for 13 out of the last 15 years. And you can argue Jacksonville has been the worst team in the league for 13 out of the last 15 years. They entered 2025 with 64 wins dating back to 2012. That was 9 fewer than anybody else in the league. I don't know any stadium that would be full when your team sucks that bad. But to the Jaguar fans' credit, they've always had a core 45, 50,000. And yeah, now people are coming back on board because they look like they have some life again. They look like they have some energy again. I go back to Liam Cohen and James Gladstone and Tony Boselli, the new regime here. The fact that a stadium is being built here, you'll hear about that tonight. The Jaguars actually aren't even going to play in Jacksonville in 2027. They're likely to play in Orlando because they're building a new stadium. It's going to open for the 2028 season, a beautiful $1.5 billion stadium. So things are certainly on the up and up here, and I expect it tonight to be a pretty crazy scene downtown.
I mean, of all the things we've talked about so far, Ryan, what I'm most impressed by is you guys have your stadium plan figured out. The Chiefs, they haven't been able to do that in 3 years. You guys got everything figured out?
We do. Yeah, I mean, it was a long time coming. And I can't tell you how refreshing it is to not be asked about London anymore and not be asked about this, that, or the other. They were never moving to London. That was absolutely never going to happen. That was, you know, people just being lazy and not really understanding what was going on here. But the fact that they got that stadium deal figured out. In fact, this is the last year. You'll see some construction around the stadium tonight if they do overhead shots. They're already starting it. Next year, you're only going to have half capacity in Jacksonville. And then 2027, they're not playing here, likely in Orlando. But then 2028, the season will open up, and it is going to be absolutely gorgeous.
Right now, we're talking to Ryan Green of 1010 XL in Jacksonville for a couple more minutes here. We love asking the opposing team this question. Give me your Chiefs win if scenario. Give me your Jaguars win if scenario.
I mean, the Chiefs win if they don't turn the ball over. And I know they haven't turned the ball over much this year. Like we said, Jacksonville, that's kind of their thing. They forced a lot of turnovers, and they've capitalized off of those turnovers. I think if Kansas City comes out there and they obviously do what they did last week against Baltimore, then you're going to have a Chiefs victory. The Jaguar side of things, it's a lot of football PTSD is what I call it. National TV has not been good for the Jaguars. Last year, Monday Night Football in Buffalo, they lost 47-10. The last time Monday Night Football was here in Jacksonville, the Jaguars were actually 8-3 in the 2023 season. That was the game that Trevor Lawrence got hurt. And everybody joked around about, oh, they can't give him a cart to take him to the locker room. That was the last time it was here. When that game happened, Trevor gets hurt. The Jaguars lose 18 of their next 23 football games. So Monday Night Football here basically killed that generation of the Jaguars. Now here we are 2 years later. Jaguars are 3-1 for the first time in almost a decade. We'll see if this version of Monday Night Football can kind of be a resurgence. They need to survive the first quarter, first half. And I think that's funny for Kansas City fans to hear because you're on the road tonight. Jacksonville has been slaughtered on Monday Night Football. They have embarrassed themselves in front of national TV audiences time and time again. There will be nerves for the guys because they're not used to it like Kansas City is. But if they can survive the first half and if they can get into this game, I think they certainly have an opportunity to win in the second half.
Last thing, Ryan, are you a Colts believer?
They're good. The one thing I will say is this. Jacksonville beat the San Francisco 49ers last week, who have four wins now on the year. The four opponents that Indianapolis has beat have combined for four wins. They've gotten very lucky with their schedule. They have beaten some awful football teams. They play another bad one next week in Arizona. We're going to find out about the Colts pretty quick, though, after that, because they still have road games against you guys, against the Chargers. They have to go to Seattle. They have to play Jacksonville on the road. They have to play Houston on the road. They still have home games against Jacksonville, Houston, and San Francisco. The Colts have had it made in the shade through five games with their schedule. It will get increasingly tougher the deeper we get into the season.
What I love most about this season so far is, and maybe this has just been a more common theme over the last couple of years, we don't have any clue who's good right now in the National Football League. Like right now, you could ask 10 people that watch the NFL who's the best team in the NFL, and I think you might get seven different answers. It just feels like it's very fluid, very up in the air, very week to week right now.
Oh, I agree. I agree. I mean, look, you know, who would have thought Jacksonville would be 3-1? Who would have thought New England would be 3-2? Indianapolis 4-1, to your point. Who would have thought Baltimore would be 1-4 and looking like one of the worst teams in the league? Miami as well. So, yeah, it's been a crazy start to the year, and it could get even crazier if Jacksonville pulls this off tonight.
That is Ryan Green of 1010 XL in Jacksonville. Join us to get the Jaguars' perspective ahead of Monday Night Football. Ryan, man, you do great work down there, man. Appreciate you always popping on with us.
Hey, Carrington, anytime, buddy. Take care.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.